Big If is a novel for our times. It's about imagining disaster, creating scary scenarios, living in a world of awful possibilities. It's also very funny. The big if of the title is a computer game loaded with monsters which must be killed. The game's creators find their own inventions upsetting and feel nostalgic for old-fashioned games like Red Motorcade, which reenacts the Kennedy assassination with 64 possible outcomes. The plot turns on a presidential campaign, a vice president running for the top job, surrounded by Secret Service agents fighting their own monsters, theoretical assassins. Mark Costello wrote Big If, and he joins us from our New York studios. Explain your idea for this book. Do you think we are living now in a world full of fearful possibilities?
It's obvious, I think. The funny thing about this book is it was written right near the World Trade Center towers, but it was finished on September 9th. So people kind of react to this book as a September 11th book, but it's sort of the last thing I'll ever do before September 11th. You know, I do think that the world we live in is sort of full of threats that we can't always measure or calibrate. And I got interested in the Secret Service agents and how they survive in that kind of world and how all of us have to survive in that kind of world.
We see this very tense atmosphere through the eyes of a number of people, but one pair, a brother and sister. He, Jens, makes up monsters for a computer game. She, Vi, is trained to see the one person in a campaign crowd who has the monstrous plan. Their father was an insurance adjuster who traveled around New Hampshire putting a price on fires and train wrecks and so on. So, obviously, you put these three people together for a reason.
I wanted to sort of write about different ways of measuring the unimaginable or dealing with the unimaginable. And the dad is a good man. He's an insurance adjuster, and he has sort of a very clerical way of dealing with it. He measures them, and he figures out an exact dollar amount for how much permanent blindness might be worth or something like that. And the kids kind of struggle to deal with that example. The son becomes a computer programmer, which is another way of sort of measuring reality, and he comes up with a mathematical formula that creates death, that models death. And what he's dealing with in the book is the reality that even though you can come up with mathematical systems that can model anything, sex, death, love, loyalty, courage, there are these human realities that are beyond his formula that are outside of our control and his control. And the daughter becomes a Secret Service agent and sort of the ultimate technology of dealing with the unknown.
You write about the head of the Secret Service detail that Vi is assigned to, and this woman, Gretchen is her name, describes what it's like to work those rope lines. That's the line between the public and the candidate as the candidate moves down shaking hands. We've all seen it zillions of times on television. Could you just read that little passage?
I'd be glad to. There was wet snow at the airport in Des Moines. The vice president was moving down the ropes, Gretchen and Vi Asplund moving with him, scanning hands and scanning hands, the blur of thumbs and palms, looking for the muzzle of a pistol coming up, or conceivably a knife or homemade grenade, or a fist coming up, holding anything they couldn't immediately see. Someday, Gretchen would tell her son all about it, how she felt out there, hanging on the VP's flank, people leaning out, straining, almost falling over ropes. They touched his hand and took his hand, falling back to reestablish balance, and the mass effect of these human movements was to slow the VP, pull him closer, hands now up his arms and around his neck. Every crowd sucked them in, a blind hydraulic suck. Gretchen's job, straddling his leg, her shoulder to the crowd, was to counteract the suck, to drive and guide him through her pelvis to his thigh, to force him down the ropes. And yes, it was a bit like giving birth, the push against the suck. And yes, it made her think of Tevin and the night she'd forced him into light, pop and burst, the openness, pain, hallucination. It was brutal in that way, saving the vice president.
This one of the sort of sub-themes of the book is in trying to plan for disaster, that doing that makes people crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, what really drew me to the agents, you know, I mean, they're really imperfect figures in the book, and, you know, they're pretty foul-mouthed, and some of them are kind of scuzzy, frankly. But there's this hard-won courage to them because they know, at least the ones who are sort of self-aware, they go out every day to the rope line, and they don't know if this is going to be the day when something awful will happen. They have to treat each event like the event where something awful will happen. And of course, they do thousands of events. And that just was very poignant to me. And funny and crazy, too.
One of the things about this book that I really liked is that periodically, the book itself just careens right out of control. I mean, at one point, the agents are sitting around. One of them is going to call his bookie. But what he's betting on is whether a Korean kid is going to win the Rachmaninoff competition, which is a music competition. And then he goes into this long thing about how he lost his shirt on the Venice Biennale, betting on some Joseph Cornell-type boxes, which didn't win anything. I mean, nuts. That's nuts.
Well, that's Otin, who's one of my favorite minor characters in the book, and he's a compulsive gambler, and he gambles on everything that surrounds him. I mean, he would gamble on ants eating in a sugar bowl if he had to. He just has got to gamble. And again, his way of responding to everything around him is to try to fit it into his system.
Are we really talking about loss of control here? The idea that the Secret Service, with all of its attention to detail and attempts to outthink candidate killers, starts from the premise that it's going to fail. The game writers who are working to make winning the game impossible. I mean, is it just loss of control?
That's something that I think we deal with, that characters deal with. And in the book, you know, people are making up everything they can to sort of convince themselves that they're in control, that I know what's going to happen next, that my life is sort of a nice little nest. And what one by one the characters have to face, I think, is that that's not true. And what was interesting to me about these characters is finding out who could handle that knowledge and who would have to turn away and not be able to deal with it and wind up even more befuddled than when they started. It's the people who can handle it and, you know, get up out of bed and do it every day. That's what's impressive to me.
Mark Costello's book is called Big If. Mark Costello, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And for this evening, that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.